But right now, we love him. It's Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter from Sports Info Solutions, and he gives a ton of information to the broadcast. They're quoting him all week long. We're lucky to have him on the weekend. Mark, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's been a lively show. I want to tell you, you can imagine what we're going on here. I know you're a Mets guy to some degree, and I want to ask you this. We had a gentleman, very nice gentleman, who sends me all sorts of information. I'm going to mention his name again. Cool Media PR, which represents sportsbetting.ag, and it's Scott Cooley. And he gave me the odds on Syndergaard being traded, and the yes is minus 200. Is that going to happen? Is Syndergaard really getting traded by the Mets?
They're making it sound like he is. I don't necessarily agree with it, given that he has multiple years of team control and that it's very difficult to find guys that have had success in the past and that can throw 100 miles an hour. It's not like you can just replace them at the snap of a finger, but they seem determined to do it. Every story in the New York papers mentions a place where they've sent their scouting team. They've checked out Atlanta. They've checked out Minnesota. I would hope if the Mets play it smart that they would send him to the American League, because they don't want to be reminded of him every time they have to face him the next couple of years.
Boy, that is going to be very interesting. All right, I just want to throw that at you, because when I saw the odds that Scott Cooley sent me, I said, wow.
That's what happens when Bumgarner comes off the market, though. Teams get more interested in other guys, and he becomes like the best guy.
And Bumgarner, the odds of him not getting traded are, you'd have to bet 140. So the favorite is not to be traded. So do you believe in that?
At this point, unless they were to lose, I think, three in a row and lose three games in ground, I feel like he's probably staying at this point.
Interesting. All right. Josh and I talk quite a bit, and Raf, and I know you've talked to them on the phone when we set you up for these segments. We talked about why we're worried, at least why I'm worried a little bit. The core guys are carrying the team, but the core guys are pitchers. And it's these other hitters who somehow scratch out enough runs when they're not in Colorado to keep the game close. And then the bullpen guys and the pitchers, whatever it is, they shut the door and they win. So who are the hitters? Who are the hitters that I'm talking about? And what's going on? Because you look at Belt and Posey, Crawford, Panic, Pilar. Nobody's like killing it, but somehow they're winning.
Not among the 30-somethings. It's the other guys. And so there are different ways that you can look at like impact on a team, impact on a game. And there's like a win probability metric, which allows you to take every at bat and how much does it contribute to winning. And the guys that have had the biggest impact, Longoria's one, but he's out and he's been out for a while. But it seems like Austin Slater hasn't had a lot of hits, but boy, he's had a lot of big hits, like hits that essentially decide games, whether it be the Grand Slam versus Michaelis or the hit against the Cubs the other day. He has racked those up pretty good. Alex Dickerson is certainly up there, but it's just funny to look at the list because you don't get to the really recognizable names until you get to like fifth or sixth, and you get to Sandoval and his home runs that win games in the front row. But it's amazing how it's been the no names. Grant Brisby wrote something where he said that it was like they were hitting on 17 and drawing a 4 every time. I think we've reached the point where now it's like you're hitting on 20 and drawing an ace.
Yeah, I'm more in that category. 20 and an ace is what's coming up. Mark Simon is with us, Sports Info Solutions. You hear him referred to on the broadcast all the time. It's so funny, and I look at Belt and I look at the core guys. Any indications from the analytical side that says, all right, Belt is having one of his cold spells, but something hot is going to come. Something's looking better.
I think just his track record. The line drive percentage has been high for him in both in key spots and just overall. The one thing that you would like about the Giants is that that regardless of who it is, they're hitting a lot of line drives. And since they're not going to drive a lot of balls over fences with the guys they've got, I think you would take that. Ideally, you'd like him to be hitting 250, 260 at this point. But you take what you get. You hope that the line drives start to fall. And I think that it's shown that they probably will over 162 games.
You know, it's funny you said that because I saw something you tweeted out yesterday about, I think it was on Twitter, about the Giants' line drive percentage.
Yeah,
and all that. Go through some of those numbers because those are unbelievable when you consider their BABIP is like 420. I mean, go through some of those because that explains really why things are happening now. I like those numbers.
Yeah, I think if you can hit line drives at a 30% rate, you're going to be a pretty good team offensively. And the Giants in this like 20-game stretch have done that. The other thing that they've done is they've been very aggressive at the plate and smart aggressive. We have, like, you can tell how often are they swinging at a pitch in the strike zone. In this 19-20-game stretch, they're second in baseball at that. And the difference between when they swing in the strike zone and when they swing out of the strike zone is high. So they're making a lot of good swing decisions in theory. And the end result of that, if you can do that repeatedly, you're going to have spurts of 400 BABIPs.
Yeah.
And 30% line drives.
All right.
And they're going through that right now. It's just a question of how long will it last.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it does explain it. When I saw the stuff you put out on Twitter, it was really good. Sean Anderson, you know, five innings, three runs, and somehow they've won his last five, nine of 13 or 14 starts. And here we go.
Yeah, things to watch for him tonight. One, the slider, the last start, the slider was at its best. He got 9 outs with it. That's a career high. The only hit he allowed with it was a home run, but he made up for that by getting the 9 outs. The slider has been good for him now 3 starts in a row after it got rocked the last time he faced the Padres. The other thing to watch for him, 4-3-7 hitters hitting .358. against him this season. He's got to get through the tough part of the lineup. If he doesn't get through the tough part of the lineup, it's going to be 4 innings and 5 runs instead of 5 innings and 3 runs.
Okay.
So I would keep an eye out on that. And then the last thing, it's weird, and this is the sign of a guy that I think is having some issues. He's actually better if he throws the first pitch ball than if he throws the first pitch strike, which makes no sense to me and almost never happens over a full season. But he's actually a little bit better, and that's just kind of weird. He should be better when he's ahead of one. You have the advantage, but he's not right now.
Quantrill, the son of Paul, formerly with the Blue Jays, he's done quite well. His splits are interesting. Righties do nothing. Lefties hitting them pretty good.
Yeah, he's got 2 really good starts in a row, and what's impressive about that is he basically does it with one pitch. He throws the fastball for strikes a lot. Everything else, he throws for a strike less than half the time. So the Giants just have to be smart. Take the pitches that are out of the strike zone, the breaking balls, and the changeups, and let them go. Lefties, the last 2 starts against him are 2-for-19. So if you had expectations for Belt and for some of those other left-handers in the Giants lineup, temper that slightly. Prior to that, they were hitting .330. So it's a question of which Quantrill we'll see, the one from earlier this season or the one the last 2 starts.
Very good. All right. Giants at the trade deadline. I always put you on the spot for a prediction, so I won't ask you the score of tonight's game. I'll say trade deadline. Give me something that's going to shock me.
Shock you? Well, I don't know if I'm going to shock you because right now I think they're just going to do nothing.
That'll shock me to some degree.
Well, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they want to be. Like, what are they buying that would make a difference that would get them to a one-game playoff?
Okay.
You want to get, like, I guess the thing to do would be to try and find, like, another Dickerson type and give up, like, a low-level prospect for him and hope that that works. That's the only thing. You're not going to get a really good starting pitcher for what they have to give up.
Okay.
I don't see them doing much of anything at this point. Just play it out and see what happens.
All right. Well, that is a scenario we've kicked around a lot today. And as I said, if you give me another 25 games of this kind of ball with 30 some odd to go, I'm in for the race to the finish. So let's see. Well, the numbers are hitting are good numbers, and the ball's falling in, but clearly the core of the bullpen and the pitching is keeping him in this thing. So, boy, a lot of fun. Great to have you on. I love it. And I look forward to talking to you next week to see if you're right.
By the way, you know what? You were optimistic when things were kind of down, and now you already sound like you're pessimistic when things are going up.
No, I just it's a question of getting the offense going, because there's one, you can't just keep winning these one-run games.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
25 and 10 is hard to replicate.
Yeah, but I saw the bullpen, I saw the pitching, and I saw the league just not pulling away, and I said they're good enough to get into this thing. And now that they're in it, now you want to stay in it. And that's the key, because the Cardinals are playing better, and you got Washington, the Cubs. You got teams ahead of you that you have to deal with. So this is, I love being in it. I love being in it.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thanks, Mark, as always. Thank you.
You got it.
All right. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.